You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach, talking American League East with MLB.com's five AL East beat reporters. We're taking a look at the Red Sox rotation, Justin Masterson, plus David Ortiz and Hanley Ramirez. We'll be also talking about the Yankees rotation, the Chase Whitley injury, getting a Masahiro Tanaka update, and talking about a lineup that might could use a break. We'll be talking about the Tampa Bay Rays and how exactly they're doing at staying right around the top of the division, what they're going to do with the ninth inning, and how their middle infield shakes down. With the Blue Jays, we'll be taking a look at Jose Bautista, Jose Reyes, and the rotation. And it's rotations all around the American League East. We'll be taking a look at Chris Tillman, Bud Norris, Kevin Gausman, and how the Orioles make their rotation work. In the score lines for the Red Sox look a good bit different the last week or two. The ultimate results are kind of similar. It's fits and starts and look good and look not so good. But it seems to be more 2-1 wins and losses rather than 9-7. With that increased effectiveness of the pitching staff, how much of that is actual improvement and how much of that is the ballparks they were in and the fact that those aren't exactly two of the most terrifying offenses in the American League?
Yeah, you know, this week will be a truer test for sure back at Fenway. But, no, I think the pitching is doing better. I mean, the ballpark doesn't have anything to do with how many guys you're walking or, you know, certain kinds of pitching you're making. So the pitchers looked you know, a little more confident. Buchholz in particular, he continues to be a tease. You know, every time you want to completely write him off and say he's never going to be good, he does what he did in Seattle where, you know, I don't care what ballparks that was. That was an electric performance the other night. That was the best I've seen the pitch in a while. So I think that was a good sign. Kelly looked a little better last time out. Porcello has been kind of their one guy. So pretty consistent all along. And, you know, Wade Miley, to me, has settled into a nice little groove. He's given them three starts of six innings or more, which is really, you know, you don't expect Wade Miley to be spectacular, but the one thing you kind of counted on him going into the year was he was the guy who was going to give you innings, you know, and he's done that the last three times. So I think there's definitely been some encouragement from the staff.
You had a piece this week that the headline was that Carl Willis is getting results. And it was interesting because, again, you know, we talked a little about this, and it's like nobody's burying Juan Nieves at all, but there continue to be these hints that this wasn't just about change for change's sake, that there was something in the communication or the execution that really wasn't working that seems to be better now. And I just want to ask again, is there any more that's kind of clear about what it is they like about the way Willis does things that maybe wasn't getting done before?
You know, Farrell likes his style a lot from when they worked together in Cleveland. Remember, John Farrell was the Cleveland farm director at the same time that, you know, Willis was the pitching coach. And this is a guy who was with Sabathia and Westbrook and, a lot of those other guys at the time who were having, you know, I forget all the names off the top of my head, but that Indians team, they were having a lot of success at the time. He was their pitching coach. He's got a real sort of easygoing style about him, but, you know, he gives these guys confidence and he makes little adjustment. He has to make little adjustments where he doesn't make it seem like he's trying to, you know, overhaul their whole repertoire. So I think that, you know, sometimes, like I said, you just need a new voice. And I'm not sure Juan Nieves, I don't know how much of a belief he had in his pitchers. I think he was starting to lose some confidence in his pitchers. And I think that was trickling over to them. And I just think that, you know, it wasn't a good situation. So, for the Red Sox to fire a pitching coach a month into the season, you know, something had to be not going right there, because that's you know, that's pretty weird timing, I would say.
We talked previously about Justin Masterson and his situation. He is on the DL. They actually did call it an actual injury, and they didn't just call it fatigue or something like that. What exactly is his situation? How does he look kind of going forward here?
Yeah, you know, it's very concerning, to be sure. Not the injury part. I don't think the injury is concerning. It's sort of one of those little things that, you know, you get to get a guy a couple weeks off. I mean, they did the same thing with Buchholz last year, and they say they saw some inflammation in his shoulder. I mean, to me, Matthew, you could probably see inflammation in just about any pitcher's shoulder, you know, when he's going out there every fifth day. I think that's just the way it is. I think they just really need to see. If it is more of, like you said, I think a fatigue thing where he just needs a couple weeks off here, because they thought that his arm strength had clearly been lacking the last two times. And the scary thing is they just want him to get back to what he was his first five starts. Well, I don't think he was real good his first five starts either. I mean, if that's the upside they're looking for, I mean, you know, I wonder how long Justin Masterson is going to be on this team, and or at least in this rotation this year. So I think that, you know, he'll be on a pretty short leash when he comes back, and he's going to have some pretty quick results because, you know, once you do have the other pitchers starting to click in the right direction, it really hurts you when you have one guy sort of bringing the thing down when it's his day to pitch. So, you know, the proof will be when Justin comes back in a couple weeks to see if that downtime, you know, helped him gather anything. I just don't know if his stuff has come back or if it's going to come back or when it's going to come back at this point.
So in the short term, they turn to Stephen Wright. He's kind of a reliable, known quantity. You know, he's not a prospect that they don't know what they're getting, but he's probably also a short-term fix. How close are we? And I know we continue to talk about this, but I think it continues to be a topic of interest in Boston. How close are we to one of the kids, one of the sort of future pieces of the rotation, being ready to be a present piece of the rotation?
Yeah, I think that, you know, right now, Eduardo Rodriguez is probably the guy who sort of established himself from the pack. But, I don't think they want to shortchange his development either. So I think they'd like to get him about another 4 to 6 weeks if they can. You know, if the rotation can do what it did over the last week and sort of hold its own, and Wright can be at least a decent stopgap, you know, while Masterson's out, I think they would like to hold that off till maybe mid-June, early July, and then you see a kid like Eduardo Rodriguez come up and get his chance to, you know, see if he's ready to produce at the major league level.
What are they seeing from Rodriguez? Because he does seem to be the guy that sort of draws the most attention and is the name that comes up the most. What are they seeing from him at AAA these days?
Yeah, he's always had pretty electric stuff, and I think that when he was in the Orioles organization, I think some bad habits developed. You know, I think there's some questions about work ethic, things like that. I think when you go to a new organization, you're trying to impress him. I think also when you get traded from your original organization, I think it can be a little bit of a wake-up call, like, look, I was once a top prospect. What am I doing wrong here? So I think the guy, simply, I think he's working a little harder, and it not only has the stuff down, but he's putting in the work in between starts to have the more consistent results that they've been sort of hoping for him for a while now.
Is there an opportunity in the meantime for Wright to sort of establish himself, or is he pretty much certainly the first man out as soon as Masterson is activated?
No, look, John Shaw really roots for Stephen Wright. I mean, he likes this guy. He likes his demeanor. He likes, you know, the knuckleball. You know, Farrell has familiarity with knuckleballers from when he worked with Tim Wakefield, so he knows that they can be valuable. And, look, the guy is 30 years old, and for an average pitcher to be coming on the scene at 30 years old, you would raise an eyebrow for a knuckleball. Although, for a guy who developed a pitch 3-4 years ago, I mean, that's just the way it works sometimes. So they're certainly open to see if this is going to work. He's shown flashes before that he can have a pretty good knuckleballer. You know, the one thing that knuckleballers are always challenged with is staying consistent, and that was really the beauty of Tim Wakefield for a long time, and sort of spoiled people here in Boston for a while with his consistency as a knuckleballer. But yeah, no, they'd like to see how this plays out, right? And if he can be, I mean, at the very least, he can be a guy who can be a swing man, go from the rotation to your long guy and come back at short resting. Even those guys can be sort of invaluable on a staff, whether they're a knuckleballer or whether just kind of a rubber arm guy who can do that.
Talk a little bit of offense briefly before we go. David Ortiz hit his first homer in 3 weeks on Saturday. His overall numbers just don't look good. I know it's not the first time. I know Ortiz is one of those guys who has been buried before it was time many times in his career. He's also not even in his mid-30s anymore, and so it's
right,
natural to worry whenever there is a slump. Is this just a slump, or is this more worrisome than that?
Yeah, no, I do think it's just a slump, and maybe it's because I have seen the guy do it so many times before. But just, just watching him interact and watching him, he still has the confidence. You know, he still has the bat speed. I think that he's a guy who, when the rest of the lineup really starts to click, I think there's going to be a trickle effect with him, because I think right now, since Hanley Ramirez has come back from that shoulder injury, his power has really been limited right now. He's basically a singles hitter as he kind of regains his second shoulder. And, you know, Napoli is not hitting at all. Sandoval been great against righties, obviously. Hasn't hit it all against lefties. But I think once the other guys in the lineup start to do their thing, I think that, you know, Ortiz gets pitched to a little bit differently, and I do think that, you know, do I think he's going to have the year he had last year? Probably not. I mean, that was a terrific year for a guy who was, I think 38 last year. But I think he can hit 20 to 25 homers and drive an 85, 90 and have a OPS over, 800 or, 820 or 840. Yeah, I think he can still do that. I think that hitter is still there. And, we'll probably see that, in the coming weeks.
And you mentioned the other thing I wanted to ask about, which is that since Hanley Ramirez returned from that injury, he has not been the same force of nature that he was before. Is he compromised? And if so, is there any talk of giving him more than a day here or there and maybe giving him some downtime, even if not 15 days, maybe giving him a few days in a row to try and get right?
Yeah, I think there could be something. We'll see over the next few days if he can sort of turn it around. But, yeah, I think that he's still regaining that strength in that shoulder. I think it's clear that that he's not up to 100%. Credit to Hanley because this is a guy who has been sort of criticized his last couple of years in L.A. for a guy who didn't always play through things and kind of, it was at least perceived that he may be coasted onto some DL stints. I think it's a real good sign that, look, Hanley Ramirez has accountability. He knows the Red Sox are counting on him heavily. If anything, he rushed his way back into the lineup here, which is, again, that shows that he's buying into what they're doing in Boston. But at the same time, you need him producing. And you can't have him just kind of become a single hitter here. So I think they'll give it another few days and see if he can get that power back. Otherwise, yeah, maybe they do shut him down for a few days, if not 15, just so you can get the trade-off of shutting him down for 2 weeks and then getting the Hanley you had earlier in the year. That would be a pretty good trade-off, I think.
Brian, in an odd way, the Yankees got a teeny tiny break this week, only in that just as Chase Whitley got hurt, which is not the break, that's bad news, it did happen at least at a time when they had somebody else ready to come back. What does Chris Capuano bring to this rotation other than a lot of experience?
Yeah, it's so funny the way that works out because, and that's what Joe Girardi was saying. I kept asking him, what are you going to do? You have this logjam of guys coming, and it's not just Capuano, but they've got Ivan Nova, Masahiro Tanaka is coming back too. And he said, just wait. These things have a way of working themselves out. And sure enough, Chase Whitley walks off the mound, and then you say, well, there it is. That's the opening. So Capuano has been around the league. They like his veteran smarts. Obviously, they'd like to get more distance out of him than they did that start in Kansas City. The first three innings were all right, and then the fourth one, he seemed to run out of steam and gas there. And I think some of that might just be the jump mentally, the exhaustion of pitching in the major leagues rather than the minor leagues. And it's something that he hadn't done all season. He barely pitched in spring training before he got hurt, and then he long road back. So I think Capuano's a guy that they can plug in there. They envisioned him as their fifth starter, so he's not going to light the world on fire. You're not looking for him to be your one or two. You're looking for him to give you some solid starts, some innings. And if you can give him, five, six innings and keep him under three runs, they'll take that. And then, as I said, there's more guys on the comeback trail, so the question is, does he finish a year in a rotation? I think my guess would be no if Tanaka and Nova do come back, but wait and see. As Girardi said, these things usually do have a way of working themselves out.
Yeah, and speaking of that whole mix and how all these guys fit together and these pieces fit together, the biggest piece of all may be coming back soon. Masahiro Tanaka does not appear to be imminent to a major league start, but might be getting close to minor league rehab starts. Where exactly is he at?
Yeah, I think you're looking at Thursday. The Yankees haven't decided yet, or at least they haven't told us if they have, whether it's going to be a Double-A Trenton or Triple-A Scranton. Both teams are home on Thursday. Both are pretty much equidistant from New York. So it's an easy trip for him to make. But they want to have him pitching somewhere on Thursday. So wherever that's going to be, that's an important first step. He hasn't done anything since he went on the DL except thrown in the bullpen. And, that's got him up to about 30 pitches or so. And you would want him to be around 90, 95 if he's going to come back and pitch in the big league. So I really doubt that it's going to be just one minor league start and then he's back. But he hasn't been laid off that long that he can't start all over again. It's not like he has to go through spring training again. This is a guy who's pitching in the big leagues at the end of April. So you would think he can come back maybe it's two minor league rehab starts. Maybe if he doesn't look great in the second one, maybe you give him a third. But I do think he's close. I think that if there are no setbacks, you could see Tanaka facing big league teams in early June.
On the other side of the ball, you wrote a piece about how the Yankees were delighted to get a breather here. They scored 11 runs in the last six games, and this is a team that had been scoring a lot of runs, had been really impressive offensively. Do you think a big chunk of that was just fatigue, just kind of grinding down over time?
I think it's got to play a part in it. When you saw that team in April and they were 3-6 leaving Camden Yards, if you said they were going to go 19-11 over the next 30, that nightmare stretch of 30 games in 31 days that they'd been talking about for months, I think you would have signed up for that. The disappointing part for the Yankees was that they started it so hot and then they tailed off there at the end. And maybe they did run into some good pitching in Tampa Bay and Kansas City, but I think there's a lot to say about fatigue. Guys might have been dragging a little bit. I think that would have been understandable. They've got a veteran team. They need to get their breathers. But then you've got some of the younger guys, like Didi Gregorius comes to mind, who should have energy but aren't contributing. So I think it's a mix of all that. They enjoyed the off day. They were here in D.C. Some of the guys did a little sightseeing. They'll get back on the field. It's a quick two-game series against the Nationals, and then they get another off day. So by the end of this week, fatigue should not be an excuse for anybody.
Do you think that run is magnified by the age of the club? A lot of guys born in President Reagan's first term or even before that playing regularly for this club.
Yeah, well, as long as we're in D.C., let's talk about presidents. But, yeah, no, that's an interesting way of putting it. But, yeah, that's what I'm alluding to. I'm saying you've got guys like A-Rod and Mark Teixeira, and there are even players like Chase Headley could use a breather here and there. Carlos Beltran certainly could. I think that there's hitters up and down that lineup who, if you can give them a blow here or there and give them a break, they'll gladly take it. That's why I'm interested to see how they handle A-Rod here. I'm assuming Teixeira will be fine to play. He basically said that it was a bruise and he would use the off day and he'd be out there. But if he's not able to, they could use A-Rod at first base too. This was a series where they envisioned using him as a pinch hitter off the bench and trying to give him a break, get his legs back under him. Obviously, he's been guarding the hamstring. But if they have to play him, they will. And so I think that's going to be an interesting choice for Girardi to see how he operates without the DH here in Washington.
It also seems like, and tell me if I'm wrong here, and I mean that, tell me if I'm wrong, because I really am just kind of going on the way it seems and looking at stats and just kind of my impression, but it does not seem like this is a team that shuttles in a lot of guys. They are not, one of the things that like Tony La Russa used to love to do was keep his bench guys fresh, get them a lot of starts in the first third to half of the year. It does not seem like the Yankees are doing much of that. They brought in Garrett Jones with the idea that he'd be a big part of that, part of this. He hasn't played much. Obviously, a catcher, you certainly do some of that. But it seems like this is a pretty static lineup from day to day, even through this stretch, and that would seem to kind of magnify the degree to which they might be susceptible to some fatigue.
Yeah, for sure. No, I don't think you're wrong. I think Chris Young has forced his way in the lineup. He's been crushing a little bit. He was playing so well, and then Beltran was playing so poorly that he really forced Girardi's hand there. But I think if Joe had his way and could have the same nine guys in the lineup every day, I think more often than not he'd want to do that. It feels like he hasn't really found how he wants to use Jose Perella yet. As you mentioned, John Ryan Murphy has gotten the requisite reps behind the plate, but I think Brian McGann's played a lot, and it's almost like he doesn't really know what to do with Garrett Jones. I think they got Garrett Jones thinking that A-Rod might not be able to handle the DH duties, and now that he can, he's proven he can hit both lefties and righties. There's really no spot there. So as of right now, I think those guys are well acquainted with the bench, but things can always change, and they can change pretty quickly, as we've seen the last couple of years.
Middle infield situation, I don't know how else to put it. It's kind of dire right now. It looked like Didi Gregorius was turning a corner, and now he's struggling again. We kept expecting Stephen Drew to start finding that gear. He hasn't. Are there even any alternatives? I mean, there was some talk about Drew when he was a little more, hitting a little more, maybe moving over to shortstop, but neither one of these guys is somebody you're dying to keep the bat in the lineup. What can they do to get some better situation from that middle infield?
Yeah, it's really hard for me to make the case that you should sit Didi and then play Drew at short and just to get Jose Perella in the lineup at second base. Rob Refsnyder has started to turn it on at AAA, and obviously he's a guy that we talked a lot about in spring training. He didn't make the team. I didn't really think he had a shot to make the team. I think they made their point clear that he wasn't going to. But he's been playing well, and the defense has been improving down at AAA. So I think that you look at that and you say, well, if Stephen Drew doesn't turn it around, then at least you have a guy, and maybe two guys if you believe in Perella, who could come up and do that. I feel like the Yankees are reluctant to make that kind of move. And the example I keep calling back to is last year with Brian Roberts. They knew that Brian Roberts wasn't anything great at second base. They knew that that was not going to be their second baseman come August 31st or September 30. I think that, but he still got until the trade deadline to prove it. And so they don't tend to give up easily on these guys, especially a proven veteran. And Stephen Drew's making more than double what Brian Roberts was making. So I think that the $5 million is not, it doesn't absolutely mean that Drew has to finish the year in the lineup and playing every day at second base, but I think that if they can stick with it, they've waited for this guy for so long. They've tried to trade for him in the past. They finally have him. They'd like to give it a fair shake, and you know, I think that you look over the last year now, the numbers have not been there. Are they going to magically turn around? I guess they could, but you'd like to start seeing some signs that it's actually going to happen.
Greg, we got what sounded like a hint of good news on Jose Bautista over the weekend. He has begun some kind of throwing. How close do you think he is to being able to play the outfield again?
It's certainly encouraging news that he's throwing again. I mean, especially after going almost a month without doing that. He went up to 40 feet at the start of this week, so that's encouraging. Now he's going to have to go through a bit of a throwing program, and it's certainly not going to be something like pitchers have to deal with, obviously. But, I mean, there still is a process for getting stretched out a little bit, because, I mean, this is a guy who hasn't been active with his arm for a very long period of time. So start off at 40, and I think they're going to really take this day by day. But, you know, this wasn't too long ago that people were fretting that, you know, we might be talking about Bautista never playing the field this year, and the fact that he's now kind of throwing and getting back into routine suggests that that's certainly not going to be the case, and that the Blue Jays should have him back sooner rather than later. How soon is still kind of up in the air, but I would think, you know, you're probably talking about a time frame of sometime within this week.
We had talked, I think it was last week, about the possibility of maybe a DL stint, of just giving it the time to cool off and just not push it for a while and allow him to come back. Does that seem to be off the table at this point?
Yeah, it does, and that's, you know, more encouraging news for the Jays, because they certainly didn't want to lose him for 15 days, and that was kind of the thought process going into this. If there was any way they could get by without having him to miss an extended period of time, he did miss those four games, but that was it. So, you know, they kind of set themselves up nicely here. It did take a lot longer than they were originally thinking. They thought this was going to be short-term rather than long-term. But, you know, the fact that all signs are pointing to them now being able to get through this without him actually needing any time off and then eventually being able to get back to the lineup they want is certainly good news for this team.
There does seem to be additional good news. It seems like this team is getting healthy. Jose Reyes is set to go out on a rehab, it sounds like. Where is he at, and what kind of timetable is he on?
Yeah, he'll be back at some point this week as well. I think they're going to want to put him through a couple of games in a rehab assignment, at most three. I don't think he's going to need an awful lot of time. I think he just needs to face live pitching again, because it's certainly been a while since he's been able to do that, and especially from the left side, because he was hitting exclusively from the right side before, so it hasn't been as long from there. But he really does want to test that left side and really kind of go max effort just to make sure that there's no kind of setbacks, because, as he said, you know, once he gets back here, he doesn't want to have any lingering effects from that injury. And so, you know, that's another good news for this team, especially from the lineup perspective. They've been able to score runs this year for the most part. They've sometimes had trouble scoring without the home run, and that's where Jose Reyes certainly comes into play at the top of that order.
And how about Michael Saunders? Is he getting close?
No, Saunders is going to be a while, it seems like. You know, they're really giving that an extended period of time for the knee to kind of really settle down. So he's going to be someone who's probably going to be out of baseball activities for a little while, and that's the fact that the Jays can get Bautista back in right field helps things a little bit, and then you can kind of go and piece together left field during Saunders' absence, and certainly the guy who's jumped to the forefront of that is Chris Colabello, because he's been probably one of the bright spots on this team over the last couple of weeks, really kind of a guy who wasn't expected to contribute very much, and we've seen bits and pieces of him before getting hot with the Twins in the past, so it'll be it's interesting to see how long he can sustain that pace, but certainly the Blue Jays are getting some kind of production from there, and they'll take that for as long as they can get it.
So we've gone about 4 minutes here, and we have talked all about the offense, and that's fine. This team is last in the American League in rotation ERA. First of all, they did a small move, brought up Todd Redmond, bumped everybody back a day. What was the thought process there?
It was just to give everybody an extra day and really kind of hope that that was – something that might help them the next time out. I mean, this is a team that's in the middle of a long stretch right now without an off day. This is one of their, this is the maximum amount of time that you're allowed to go between off days. So they're kind of in the middle of a grind right now, and they're going to give them an extra day. But they have the flip side of that is that even on normal rest or even when they've had an extra day, they just simply haven't been getting enough innings. So the workload isn't the issue for the starting staff. It's getting quality innings, because this is a group that just hasn't been able to go deep into games, and that's taken a toll on the bullpen, and the bullpen was questionable enough coming into the year, and then when you add in that extra strain, it kind of impacts them really negatively as well. So really top to bottom, they haven't been getting what they need from that staff.
And that leads into the big question, which is what in the world can they do? Because this is a team whose window is right now, and the evidence grows stronger every day that this rotation, just without Marcus Stroman, just may not be good enough to be the team they want to be. So what can they do?
It's a great question, and one I don't think anyone really has an answer to. I mean, this is probably a team that you'd look to make a move at some point, but that's certainly not going to happen now. It's still too early. You're at least a month away from really having any kind of serious conversations about that. So really, they're going to have to improve internally. And, you look at guys like Drew Hutchison, who just haven't been able to put it together with good numbers yet. You expect that to be better. You wouldn't think that could get much worse. And then you're looking at some of the other young guys to improve. And we've seen glimpses of brilliance from Aaron Sanchez, and then we've seen times where he just can't command the strike zone, so he's going to absolutely have to cut down on that. Those are the kind of the guys where you look at the upside and you say, well, it can be done, but whether or not they'll actually be able to go through and do it consistently is going to be the big question about this team, and whether or not they're able to hang around the division and contend towards the trade deadline when a bigger move would probably be made.
Could you see them, Hamels, Cueto, these guys probably aren't going to go, if they go at all, till late July. Could you see them doing some kind of stopgap move before then, calling the Phillies about Aaron Harang, some kind of just somebody to bring some kind of stability? Is that in play sooner than 2 months from now?
I would think so, and those are the type of things that I would probably expect to heat up, a little bit closer to the draft, maybe. I mean, Anthopoulos has been open about saying that he's ready to do business if that's what it takes. And this is a team that, as you kind of touched on, the window to win is really right now. It's open right now. So they may have to look at doing something like that. I don't think they have anything really close. But the upside to making a move on a second-tier type of starting pitcher that would really suit the Blue Jays is the fact that they also don't want to give up some of their really blue-chip guys. I mean, Jeff Hoffman is someone they really lucked into the last draft because of his injury, and he's really now completed his rehab assignment, really kind of taking the minor league system by fire so far, just in terms of the hype, and that's not someone they want to give up, and they're certainly not going to want to give up with the guys that they currently have in the big leagues or in AAA Buffalo with Daniel Norris and guys like that. I mean, those are part of the permanent pieces of the future, so you're going to have to find ways to improve and upgrade without using those guys, and that's probably where you kind of fit into the second-tier guys as opposed to a big ace that would require, a couple of your top prospects in return.
Does that seem at all odd to you? And I know it's something we've talked about before as far as direction, commitment, as far as sort of identifying that window and going after it. Is it odd to you at all that, again, this team that's right on the fringe, that clearly has the offense, maybe the best offense in the American League, has some interesting pieces in the bullpen, and has, you know, potentially a decent back of the rotation. Is it odd to you that they seem so unwilling to commit, to take that next step and go after a top-tier starting pitcher who really, for the team in their position, really might be a difference maker?
Well, the thing that's unique about all this is that you add into that as well the fact that Alex Anthopoulos, the general manager, is a guy who doesn't have a lot of job security. I mean, he knows that this is a season that his team probably has to contend in order for himself to get a long-term commitment from the organization as well. So there's plenty of jobs in the line, and more often than not, when you see those type of situations, you have guys who are sacrifice a bit of the long-term in order to try and compete now. In order to make the playoffs, and also in order to try and keep your job. And that's something that Anthopoulos continues to be adamant that he won't do. He doesn't want to make any of those deals that are going to impact the future. But this kind of all goes back to the offseason as well. I mean, the problems that they have now are the same problems that they had in the offseason. A lot of people expected the rotation and the bullpen to be an issue. And here we are, 2 months into the season, and it is. So they shouldn't be surprised by that either. So the most bizarre thing about it to me is the fact that some of these issues weren't addressed going into the season, because once you get in there, it's a lot harder to do that when you don't have free agency or some teams trying to cut payroll going into the season.
The Orioles are hitting reasonably well. They're pitching reasonably well. There are certainly some things that aren't going great, but there's not one thing that you point to as a gaping hole in this club, and yet I don't think anybody there would deny they're not where they want to be, and they haven't really found their stride. Why is this team under 500?
Well, I think, Matthew, they haven't been able to put it together. Like you mentioned, they haven't been pitching very bad. They haven't been hitting very poorly either, but the issue is it's one or the other. I think it seems like most nights, the nights they pitch well, they don't hit, and vice versa. Obviously, that lends itself to some inconsistency, and that's really what you've seen here. Now, the fortunate thing is you look at the American League East, and I believe the Yankees and Rays, the top of the division, are maybe 3 games over 500. Now, you look at the other divisions, and you're talking 12, 13 games over 500 for the division leaders. So the good news for the Orioles is that, one, it's still very early, and two, the AL East could end up really being the weakest division in baseball. It could maybe only take 88 games to win this division. And the Orioles feel like this is sort of the case that happened last year. They made their run right around June. So I think the next month will be critical in assessing where this team is and what their chances are moving forward.
One guy who clearly will be a big part of it if they get where they want to be is Chris Tillman. He had what seemed to be a minor physical issue. He's back today. What's the status on Tillman?
Yeah, he just had a little back issue, and he wasn't skipped entirely. He was just pushed, and they've had a lot of things happen here. And, of course, they have a lot of things that are coming up that are about to happen roster-wise. So, there's a lot of juggling on their part. They felt like giving Tillman that extra day or two, making sure he was right. They don't want to push it. They're already down a starter with Bud Norris having bronchitis. Kevin Gausman is on the disabled list. They'd like to stretch him out. So they don't want to push these guys and end up with a bigger problem. So I think he's good to go. Obviously, the weather's going to factor in a little bit today in terms of keeping that back warm. It's cold. It's damp here. Rain expected most of the afternoon. So it'll be interesting to see how long of a leash they give him and how much the weather plays into they start as well.
Is there any chance this is something that's bothered him? I'll ask it directly. Is there any chance this thing maybe is something that's gone on as a partial explanation as to why he's had such a hard time getting going this year?
Maybe, but you're not going to get him to admit it if that was the case. He's had back issues in the past. This isn't a new thing, so certainly it could be a case where, like you said, he's had this and he hasn't been able to get right, and he finally spoke up when it was too much. But you know how baseball players are. They're not going to say this is the reason for that. They're not going to make excuses. And Chris Tillman is not an excuses type of guy, so he's never going to get to admit it. So you'll see here whether it's truly behind him or not. But certainly they need him to kind of be that guy he was last year, be the opening day starter, top of the rotation type of pitcher, and he just hasn't been that so far.
Yeah, and so if it's not physical, what is going on? Because it clearly this is not the guy that they thought they were going to have this year.
Right. Well, if it's not physical, I think they need to maybe take a little bit more time to evaluate, because right now he's certainly not their biggest problem in the rotation. Bud Norris, who, as I mentioned, right now is on the DL, but stands to come back at some point next week, has almost a 10 ERA. So Chris Tillman hasn't been a guy where fans really have been wondering what's going on. I think obviously the physical issue could have been something that lended itself to some of those struggles. If it's not anything physical, then I don't know, really. I think it's kind of a case of him not being able to settle down early. If you look at his first two innings over his career, he's always been a guy who, once he got through those innings, was okay. And you know, he still hasn't been able to really put that behind him where he's going out the first inning or two and he's really shutting guys down. You know, he runs up high pitch counts a lot. He struggles with runs early on. And, you know, that's really kind of been his issue over the last few years. It's something that he needs to do a better job at. So I think they're going to evaluate him over the next few weeks, see if he gets better. And if he doesn't, they have to ask how much of it is physical, how much of it is Chris Tillman needing to step it up and turn it around and act like the top of the rotation guy that he was intended to be.
And you mentioned Norris, and that was another guy I wanted to ask you about. I don't recall hearing previously a guy DL'd for bronchitis, not to minimize that. It can be a nasty thing to deal with. But generally, that's not something where a team says you're not going to play for two whole weeks, which kind of leads to the question that there's probably a little bit more to that, isn't there? What exactly is the situation with Norris? Not that he's not ailing, but this is an opportunity to kind of do some things a little differently, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's also going to be DL for 15 days. If you go, obviously, because he's part of that rotation, they just backdated it to his last start. So as a pitcher, it's really not as big of a deal. They have an opportunity here to only have him out for a few days. I think Tuesday is when he can come back. So he was sick in New York. It was more of a stomach thing that was actually kind of going around with the team. He managed to pitch that game. It didn't go very deep. It was four or five innings last weekend. So with him, they felt like because he wasn't getting any better and then he got bronchitis on top of everything he was dealing with, like I said, they were in that rare opportunity where if they did DL him, which is what they did during Monday's off day, they only had to wait, you know, less than a week to bring him back and they could have an extra pitcher. So it's another example of the Orioles exposing the rules, finding a little bit of a loophole, and also getting Ben Norris hopefully on the right track because he's lost about 10 to 15 pounds. He's clearly sick. It's not a case for they're trying to lie to put a guy who's not pitching well on the DL. Now, he's frustrated that he's been on the disabled list. He's coming off a career year, so they're trying to get his strength and his endurance back. And right now, they're able to have Tyler Wilson up here. They got Mike Wright, who's going to make another start. So they have some good reinforcements. Why not put him on the DL? Why not try and get him back to 100%? Because this team really isn't in a position to be giving away games.
Is this only a 15-day thing then, or is it something where if he's got to kind of build some strength back that maybe it takes a little longer than that?
They think it's only going to be 15 days because they have that doubleheader coming up next week, the makeup with the White Sox. So they feel like you're going to need an extra pitcher then. Why not give Clinton Norris one of those starts? He could pitch before then, too. They've got a lot of injury stuff, a lot of roster moves coming up over the next few days. So there's going to be a little bit of a shuffle. So I think they're just going to try and maybe use Tyler Wilson, use him up as much as they can, and then, you know, get in a fresh arm, which would be Bud Norris. I do think they're going to end up activating him around that 15-day mark because they can't hide him. You know, they need him if they're going to be a good team. There's no sense in letting him rot on the DL. If he's healthy, if he's ready, if he's physically okay, they've got to try and figure out a way to get him right.
And then also in this, you mentioned Kevin Gausman, who I ask about a lot because he's a guy I'm really high on, definitely intrigued by, and it sounds like we're maybe sort of moving back towards that situation where once he comes back, maybe he starts building towards being a member of this team's rotation somewhere later down the year. Is that kind of how it looks right now?
Right, yeah. I mean, honestly, they handled this situation pretty horribly. When you look at Gausman and his development, certainly in my opinion, it was stunted this season. He was rarely used in the bullpen. So then his arm started bothering him. He got tendonitis. And, you know, now they're at the point where he's on the disabled list, which is actually a good thing. It's going to allow him take a little time off, stretch himself back out and be an option at AAA Norfolk because they needed starters. You know, Mike Wright was the guy who got the call up. Tyler Wilson is up here now as well. And certainly they would prefer to have Kevin Gausman up here and have him as an option in the rotation. And I think they realized that, you know, it probably wasn't the best move in spring training to have Gausman make this team in the bullpen. Is he one of their best pitchers? Sure. But I just think for his development, he probably should have started in AAA, got some starts under his belt, and then you'd be in a different situation with him. But it is early on enough that now they feel like they won't really have to monitor his innings because he hasn't pitched a whole lot. He's currently on the DL. So this could actually help him keep him a little sharper later in the season, which might be the silver lining out of all of this.
And then, because we can't do this without having this, give me Matt Wieters' update. Sounds like, again, actually does sound like there is a little more progress here, that he's continuing to head the right direction.
A tiny bit. He's still on an every other day schedule, and that's what he's going to be when he comes up here, which kind of shows you that he's not close to be playing every day. Otherwise, the team would probably wait. But they feel like, you know, June 4th, which is when he can be activated, is the target date to have him up here. He's probably going to catch 3 to 4 days a week, and they think that's better than no Wieters at all. So he'll be in Miami this weekend. He's down in extended spring in Sarasota, so he's going to go join the team. They're going to work with him a little bit, and then hopefully he'd start his rehab assignment with AA Bowie on Tuesday. Now, I asked Buck today whether they were going to have him play every day or whether they were going to stick to that every other day schedule on his rehab, and he seemed to suggest that it was probably going to be every other day as well. So that just shows you how slowly they're taking things with Matt Wieters. And, you know, you think back to that game in mid-March where he made his spring training debut and, you know, clearly had a setback. He was shut down the very next day. So it's been a long, long road with Matt Wieters, and it's not over yet because they're going to have to figure out a way to kind of carefully monitor his innings even when he's up here.
So am I right in saying this sounds like a little bit of a change in philosophy? Because earlier it had sounded like he wasn't going to be there until he could be full-on catching nearly every day, back to normal. And now maybe they're willing to have him a little less than that. Am I correct that there's maybe a little change in philosophy, or am I misreading that?
Yeah, no, you're definitely correct. There's been a lot of changes, really, because they really had said a whole bunch of different things. You know, this wasn't a setback. Oh, he's going to be ready soon. And, you know, he needs to catch every other day before he gets out of extended spring. And obviously, that's not happening. He's not going to catch every day when he comes up here. I think, you know, honestly, Matthew, I think they need a lift. They need Matt Wieters on the team, maybe some kind of shot in the arm, and they're tired of waiting. You know, it might be another month if they have to wait for him to progress to catching every other day. If he can be with this club, if he can help this club in any way, they want him up here as soon as possible. So, yes, it's definitely been a shift.
Bill, I have sort of a big picture question for you, because I'm not entirely sure myself, and I pay attention to this team. The Rays are 21-18. They've got a plus 17 run differential. It's best in the American League East. How are they doing this?
That's a good question, right? You know, they've been juggling their starting staff. They really haven't been overpowering on offense, even though probably that run differential is a little bit more based on Sunday's win. You know, it was a lopsided win. But, you know, it's kind of smoke and mirrors, basically, with some solid pitching in there.
What parts of this are sustainable, and what parts worry you as this club goes forward?
Well, I think the bullpen got a real boost with McGee returning the other day. But you've got to wonder if the starting pitching, minus Cobb and Smiley, is going to be able to give enough innings to make sure that bullpen doesn't get worn out. But, you know, I think that the plan going forward is they're going to be shuffling guys in and out from Durham all year, you know, to maybe pick up some of those innings when they do feel like they're a little bit short.
Do they have the kind of depth of quality bodies to be able to do that, because, you know, it's something we've seen the Orioles do a lot the last few years is essentially use a 10 or 11 man bullpen with three of those guys at AAA, and they kind of shuffle in and really have done that effectively. Do the Rays have the kind of depth at AAA that they can make that work and continue to have an effective bullpen while, as it stands now, having the most relief innings pitched in the American League?
That's a good question, because basically, Andrew Bilotti came up and gave him a really good boost. But two guys that fit into that niche were C.J. Riefenhauser and Kirby Yates, and both of them are on the Major League DL from stints there. So I would say yes once those guys got healthy. But right now I think it's a little bit, you know, of a question mark.
You mentioned the return of McGee. They've got a couple of options back there. How do they handle the back of the bullpen with that full complement of late inning guys in hand once again?
Well, I think eighth and ninth will be Boxberger, McGee, and in one order or the other. Maybe not McGee just yet, because they kind of wanted to ease him in, but he really looked overpowering on Sunday. So who knows? That might have been enough to go on and get him, you know, where they're ready to use him. Then you've got Jepson, Gelt, Gomes, and I think those are probably their top five, with the exception of Cedeno, who has really been a nice surprise as their left-handed specialist. You know, they really got him for nothing, and all he's done is get out some of the top hitters in the American League East, you know, like it's a walk in the park.
Do you anticipate this remaining a committee situation for a good long time, or is it something where, with given a little time, McGee will ease back into being the main guy?
You know what? Cash has insisted all year that it was going to be a by-committee thing. Now, maybe he was being a little more vague at the beginning of the year because everybody knew McGee would not start the season there. But, you know, he seems pretty comfortable with having the ability to bring somebody in if he needs to when he feels like it's maybe it's really hot in the seventh inning. And he feels like that needs to be quieted more than some, you know, and take his chances on the ninth, which we saw him do earlier this year when I think Boxberger came in the seventh and Gelt's finished out the ninth. So right now that sounds like his plan. Of course, you know, when you've got a lot of balls in the air like they seem to have, that might end up being something that they would like to, you know, maybe have, you know, to, as a constant. But right now I would expect it to just be either one or the other and not, you know, not declaring one.
You mentioned manager Kevin Cash, and he's really getting some raves. Now, part of that is just results-based. When you've got a team that is doing better than people would have thought with injuries, they're going to get credit. But it does seem like there are some things that are really standing out about the way he's handled himself. What have been your impressions of Cash now that we've got nearly a quarter of a season to watch him handle regular season games?
Well, you know, he'll even admit that sometimes he, you know, he gets outmanaged or is learning about his managing. But, you know, he's got a lot of guys to rely on that. And I think a nice quality of his is he has no ego. On top of that, he's a former player, which I think resonates well with the team. But, you know, he seems to be a player's manager. And I think it's kind of a nice, I mean, maybe a nice deference to, you know, Joe Maddon, who, you know, did a wonderful job. But, you know, was very visible and you know, out front. And he's kind of understated and back behind the scenes. So, but then I say that, and there's really not that many players on the team who were here last year. So you just got to give him credit. He's going in his own style, and it seems to be working. Because I know nobody expected them to be where they are at the end of the first month with the injuries they've had.
One thing that hasn't gone especially well is, and something we talked about all spring, is that middle infield mix. Starting at second, it seems like Logan Forsythe has played his way into being the primary guy there. Do you anticipate that continuing? Is that a mix and match? How does second base look going forward to you?
Well, I think they like Logan Forsythe in there right now based on his offense more than anything. But he really, if you watch him play every day, you realize what a solid fielder he is too. But now you've got Nick Franklin back, you've got Tim Beckham in the mix, and then you've got Astrubal Cabrera. So I think you're going to see Nick Franklin spot Cabrera more often. And then, you know, Beckham has been a really nice surprise with what he's done offensively and shown some power. I mean, he's like 2 inches away from having two more homers than what he has. Too. I mean, he hit a monster shot on Saturday. So I think they're just going to juggle these guys, but I think they juggle with most of the reps going to Forsythe and Cabrera at this time.
And then over on the other side, you mentioned the shortstop situation. It seems like there's a less obvious alternative there, but Asdrubal Cabrera is also struggling with the bat. Is there something they can do at shortstop? Is there an opportunity for Nick Franklin to play his way more at bats there?
Yeah.
How does shortstop look going forward?
Yeah, well, Nick, that's what I was saying. Cabrera, I mean, I think is going to get most of the reps, but I think you're going to see Franklin in there. And then also, I think on a lot of days, you know, when you see maybe a tough lefty, you're going to see Forsythe move over to first, and then they'll probably have Beckham at second. So, you know, make room for the other right-hander and give Loney a day off. So, but Cass seems to really believe in Cabrera, so he's not pushing any panic button on him just yet.
This is MLB.com Extras. Thanks for listening.